Why does man apart from God have a heart of stone? Well, because man apart from God, ready, is stone. Man apart from God is stone dead. There is no true spiritual life in a human being apart from the grace and the salvation found only in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that man in his nature completely lacks any spiritual good.
Hi, and welcome back to Live in the Light. Hey, we're thankful that you've joined us here today. You've joined us for the start of one of our new series. In fact, a very, very important series. In fact, we would say this is a critical series for understanding your life in Christ. Now, today's message takes us to a specific spot, but this message is just part of a whole. In fact, this is probably one of the best series to get as a package, as one part fits into the rest. It fills in for you an understanding of what God has to teach you about what your heart looks like and what He wants from you. So a valuable series indeed. And Robbie, today we're continuing on through Proverbs 4:23 and looking at other passages as well, which describes what the heart looks like and how important it is for us.
Yeah, we do believe it's important because this is really biblical counseling for the heart. And loved ones, we want you to understand when your heart is healthy, your life is going to be blessed. Again, as we just said, it's not going to be easy, but it will be blessed. And that's what the Lord wants for you. And our passage today, too, would keep your heart with all vigilance. Why? Why should you guard your heart in that way? Because from it flow the springs of life. That's amazing. The way we think and how we feel and our wills really determine the springs of life found in the heart. That we pray is fully rooted in Jesus Christ. Again, we want to stress to you the importance. What Craig just said is just, it's just bang on. I mean, this is a series to get and to learn, to take notes, to study, to think about, to talk about, because if you get this right, you're going in an exciting direction in the things of Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, as we said, this series is a part of a whole, so if you'd like to get a copy of it, make sure you visit our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. And hey, while you're on our website, and even if you do call us, we'd love to hear how God's maybe been using this ministry in your life. Drop us a word of encouragement, or even we'd love to hear how you're praying for us. We value that. So please do take advantage of that, and please make sure you visit us. But now, as we go to the text, please make sure you grab your Bibles as we go again to Pastor Robbie in Proverbs 4:23, and a healthy heart and a healthy start.
It's just revealing what's really inside of me. And that's what's so convicting to say, man, that's me. Yeah, that's you, Robbie. That's the ugliness within. When you're not guarding and keeping your heart, all of a sudden you start to see, wow, that's disgusting. See, when someone is consumed with alcohol, and they do or say things that they will deeply regret in the future. People say, well, the alcohol made it. No, the alcohol is not making them do it. The alcohol is simply freeing them to reveal what's actually inside of them. And that's when it becomes really scary. And all of us have these issues in different ways. I just say that to you so you start to understand the abundance. From the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. When you see things come out and thoughts in your mind, man, just stop for a second and be like, whoa, like, whoa. I need help. And we all do. See, now, I get greatly discouraged by that, but here's what I get really encouraged by. Jesus Christ wants to change me. Amen. And He wants to take this filth and this wickedness, and He has so much since I've been saved, and He will continue to as I pursue a mind, affections, and a will that is seeking to be healthy in the ways of Jesus Christ. That's where this whole thing gets really fired up, man. That's where we get the expectation. God does want to radically change you and challenge you in the areas of your heart, because where your heart is at is where you are at. And we want to get our hearts healthy, because then we are living lives that are healthy, not without pain, not without difficulty, not without trial. Probably increases the trial, but we have the strengthened hearts by God as He carries us through that. So many people have desire for change, But here's what we learn. They don't understand the truth about change. We're going to try to change that today. Again, we're on the point of I must receive a new heart. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. You're in Proverbs, turn right. Flip over a few ways. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, hit Jeremiah. From Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, we'll look at a couple of verses. This is an incredibly important passage on the heart. You need to know it. You need to underline it. You need to learn from it. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. We'll start there. Y'all there, thanks for turning in your Bibles. Pray you'll be blessed by that. If someone's not turning beside you, turn for them. Ezekiel 36, verse 24, says this, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. Again, prophesying here the blessings and promises of God upon his people. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols. I love that. I will cleanse you. We'll deal with that in the weeks to come, cleansing ourselves from idols. And verse 26, and I will give you a new heart. See, this is the promise given of what the Messiah will accomplish in Jesus Christ. But the work that Jesus Christ does will result in God giving his people a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now, don't be confused. In the New Testament, it speaks of the sinful flesh that is against us all the time to seek us to do wrong. This is different. When God speaks of the heart of stone, that's death. He speaks of the heart of flesh, that's life. He speaks of the heart of stone, that's again, those who are dead. The heart of flesh are those who are alive with his spirit. He says, I remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. Such a well-known passage, such promises of life-changing truth. God is promising here to give a new heart. He's promising to put a new spirit within his people. He promises that he will remove the heart of stone from their flesh. Let's stop right there for a second. But why does God have to remove a heart of stone? Why does he have to remove a heart of stone in the first place? Why can't he just use what we got in the beginning? Because the question becomes, why does man apart from God have a heart of stone? Well, because man apart from God, ready, is stone. Man apart from God is stone dead. There is no true spiritual life in a human being apart from the grace and the salvation found only in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that man in his nature completely lacks any spiritual good. The Bible teaches that human beings on their own are totally incapable of doing or performing any spiritual good before God. You say, give me a verse for that. Gladly. Romans 3, verse 10, on the screen for you, as it is written. Now, the world doesn't like this truth. But there's no truth that you need more in order to be saved in Christ is to understand that no one is righteous. No, not one. None is righteous. No one understands. No one on their own. No one seeks God. No one. Not one. On their own, no one seeks God. All have turned aside. All have apart from Christ. Together, they have become worthless. Worthless, that seems so harsh. It's true. No one does good. No one. On their own, no one does good. Not even one. Not one, not even one. How clear is the Bible here? The Bible is making it very clear that every person on their own has a heart of stone. You see, that's precisely why then Ezekiel 36 is amazing. It's the promise of God saying, yes, every person ever born has a heart of stone, but he is coming to say the promise is I am coming to remove that heart of stone and the promises of replacing it with a heart of flesh. How does he do that? How does he remove our heart of stone? His son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes to earth to live a perfect life that we could not live. We are sinful. Christ was without sin. Jesus then dies the perfect sacrifice. He makes the payment for our sin upon the cross. He is triumphant and over death as he dies but doesn't stay dead. He is raised from the dead, defeating sin and death and Satan. And at that moment then, when he is raised from the dead, Jesus Christ satisfying the demands of God, he stands there victorious. And at that moment, the promise of the new heart has been fulfilled. And the new heart now is available to all who believe in Jesus Christ and turn from their sin. This is the glories of God's love upon his people by saying, I will come and remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The wonders of salvation in Christ. The heart of stone which is dead with the heart of flesh which is life. God himself then gives a new heart. You see that? God himself is the one who gives us a new spirit. It's not us who does it. God himself removes it. You can't remove your own heart of stone. There's nothing we can do to somehow save ourselves before God. God has to do it. God has to initiate in our lives, taking the heart of stone, replacing it with the heart of flesh. This is what the Bible calls regeneration in the New Testament. That's the act of God by the Holy Spirit where he imparts new spiritual life to us. It's also called being born again, where God comes in and he initiates giving us a new heart in order that we might now see, hear, and then have the faith to believe in the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ. The whole point of this, I'm trying to get this across, a person cannot change unless they have received a new heart. You can try all you want, and billions have all throughout history. They've done everything under the sun to try and receive a new heart on their own. You will not find change unless you first possess a new heart, only granted by Christ, only received by faith. This is why then, no new heart, no true health. You must visit the surgeon who does the only true heart transplant. His name is Jesus Christ. And here's what I know. Not everyone here today, whether it's on the floor of the balcony, overflow, or listening, not everyone here today in this place has a new heart. There's just no way. Not everyone. But my prayer is that this weekend, by the grace and the love of God, that he is beginning a new work in certain people and replacing a heart of stone with a heart of flesh that allows you to see and believe and to love maybe him for the first time. See, this may explain why in your life there has been no real sensitivity to the things of God. Maybe even right now, man, you can barely listen. It might be because there's a heart. See, a heart of stone cannot know God, cannot perceive God, cannot love God, because a heart of stone is dead. That's what the Bible is teaching us here spiritually. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the man without the Spirit of God cannot discern the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. If you don't have God's Spirit, you don't get the things of the Spirit. You have to be alive in Christ in order to understand the things of Christ. See, and God has to initiate that heart of flesh within your life before you're ever going to truly get it with him to see and to know and to love. The heart of stone can do nothing unless God first acts and takes out that heart of stone being death and gives life the heart of flesh by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. I found this stone this week. I got some friends to help me with this stone. And oh, my Bible for a second, man, thanks. Look at this stone. It actually looks like a heart, doesn't it? Look at that. Kind of looks like a heart. No? I think so. Thanks. Thanks for playing with me here, all right? But here's this stone, okay? I can take this stone. Here's the reality of every person apart from Jesus Christ. Your heart is stone. Heart is stone. I can take this stone and I can preach to it till I'm blue in the face. I could present it with every best sermon in the history of the world. I could explain scripture and the gospel to this stone until literally I die. And someone after me until they die, it will never, ever change. This stone, because it's what? It's dead. It's not alive. There's nothing in it that's listening to what I'm saying right now. There's no senses. It's totally without life. It's a stone. And this is a spiritual reality for anyone who's apart from Jesus Christ. It's amazing. The world thinks they're alive because they walk around and they have things and they say words and whatever, but the spiritual reality is just because you've been born doesn't mean you're alive. Just because you've been born from your mother's womb doesn't mean you're alive. You must be born again. You must have the Spirit of God within you. You must have a heart transplant where the heart of stone is removed and the heart of flesh takes its place. Anyone with a heart of stone will not be able to ever to respond to the things of God unless Jesus Christ comes and takes out that heart of stone and replaces it with a heart of flesh. And the moment you have a heart of flesh, and the reason right now, whether I talk to Mark or whoever it is, and I'm sitting there, there's a response. Eyes are open. There's reaction. I can tell that you're alive. Praise the Lord. You got a little smile on your face. That's great. You are engaging with me because you are of the flesh. You are a real human being. Understand this. The Bible is saying that someone who spiritually has a heart of flesh is someone who also can see for the first time, can hear the truths, can feel the things of God, and can then pursue and know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Think of when you are saved in Christ. Think of the season of your life when you came to know him and you were revitalized. All of a sudden, you went from death to life. I remember the day I was saved, man. I literally said, I can see. I can see for the first time the whole rest of my life walking around a heart of stone. And then all of a sudden, God, by his grace, initiates the work in my heart, takes out the heart of stone, puts on the heart of flesh, gives me the ability to have faith, never the same again. This is what must happen if your heart is going to be healthy. You must receive a new heart. Who is here today? The amazing part is God is sovereign over this, yet we are called to implore you to turn from sin and run to Jesus Christ. You are here today. You have any inkling of the gospel and that Jesus Christ has died for your sin. Run from your sin and run to Jesus Christ by faith that he died on the cross for your sins and he promises eternal life to all who believe. God is the one who makes that happen. We are the ones who respond to him in obedience and faith as he works in us and gives us a new heart. May it be so here today. Now, here's the thing then as we go on. We have just laid a foundation of understanding what the Bible teaches about the heart. We have talked about there's no point going any further unless we have and received a new heart by God's grace from him in our lives. But here's what we learn now. A lot of people are like, yeah, Jesus, save me, justify me, but now I'm sitting here and doing nothing. Give me the fire insurance and then let me just go live my life the way I want to live. Here's what we get in this series. If you truly have a heart of flesh that's saved in Christ, you cannot just sit there with your fire insurance and be smug. If you truly are saved in Christ, you are justified and you are desperate to be sanctified. Theologically and biblically speaking, you cannot separate the justified from the sanctified. Justified means you are innocent in God's sight at the moment of your conversion. Sanctification is, though, you begin to become more and more like Christ from that point on. No one is truly justified and not sanctified. It's impossible. So anyone who says, yeah, give me that salvation, and now I live for myself, thanks God for the tip, not going to hell, but I'm going to live, that's not true conversion. True conversion is, I have a new heart, I must pursue a stronger heart in the things of Jesus Christ. Anyone here right now who is saved in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God within you is loving what you're hearing right now. The Holy Spirit is like, yeah, man, get that heart pumping for the things of Jesus Christ. Get the mind and the affections and the will. The Holy Spirit is agreeing so much right now to say, you can't waste your time sitting on the bench. You can't waste your time going through the motions. You can't waste your time just kind of getting by as a Christian. You can't waste your time in apathy and complacency. You can't waste your time being bored to death with the world. The Holy Spirit's like, man, get off your butt and do something for Jesus. Get off your butt and pursue the things of Jesus Christ. He's saying, with your affections, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Holy Spirit wants us to have the healthiest heart possible because that's when our lives are giving so much glory to Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit within you. And right now, if you know that, you know that. You're sitting here, you're like, yeah, in your spirit, you're agreeing. You get it. And then you want that. You believe what you're hearing and you want to see more happen in your life for Jesus Christ and what he wants to do in you and through you. And that's what then takes us to point number three and point number four, which we hit quickly this week to whet our appetites for what's coming in the weeks to follow. If I understand the biblical heart and I've received a new heart, number three then, I must cultivate a healthy heart. I got to cultivate a healthy heart. I can't stand by idle. We've seen today the spiritual heart is everything in our lives. Where it goes is where we go. So no wonder then it must be led. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 says, I'll read it for you. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God. See that? The heart needs to be led. May the Lord direct. He's doing that right now today. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. Psalm 119, verse 36. Incline my heart to your testimonies, not to selfish gain. Oh God, incline my heart to you, not to myself. You see, that's the heart that wants to be led. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee from youthful passions. There are people here today, man. You've been living in sin. You've been engaged in youthful lusts and pleasures, whatever it may be. It might be decades old in your life. The Bible says, man, if your heart is pure and you desire to be strong, you can't keep wasting your time and sin confess. You gotta turn from that in repentance and run now, as 2 Timothy 2 says, to peace, righteousness, faith, and love. Listen. Along with those who call upon the Lord with a pure heart. You see? So if you are cultivating a healthy, pure heart, you are running from sin and running to righteousness in Jesus Christ. And again, this is you saying, yes, you want to cultivate that in your life. Listen, a healthy heart never happens by accident. It never just appears. It's a decision. It's the mind, the affections, and the will to say, I need to have a healthy heart. No garden, no beautiful garden has ever magically appeared. It doesn't happen. In fact, the opposite is true. If you leave a garden, it turns into a mess. The weeds grow up, the wilderness creeps in. At some point, you can't differentiate between the plants, the weeds, and the flowers. It all just kind of looks like a big mumble jumble. But a heart or a garden that is beautiful, what happens to a garden that's truly beautiful? Someone or some people have taken great vigilance, effort, energy, and watchfulness over that garden. When a weed pops up, they rip it out, man. They are so tender with the flowers, and they water them and they nurture them and they make sure that sunlight is available to them. They have spent all this time making sure this garden is beautiful. If your heart's going to be beautiful, you got to cultivate it. You got to care for it. You got to watch it. You cannot sit idle. You got to wake up, man. You got to guard that thing. You got to cultivate it into a thing of beauty. And when it is, with the Lord's help, of course, his strength in us, it's amazing what happens as we cultivate that strong, healthy, beautiful heart. And number four is this then, quickly. I must fight then for a pure heart. That's where I want to end today. I got to fight for a pure heart. I'm hoping you're seeing that. I want to end where we started. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Again, I want you to memorize it. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Keep your heart with all vigilance. You know what that means? It's going to be a battle, loved ones. This series is another battle. Because your flesh, your sinful flesh in you, hates this message, hates it. Hates the fact we're talking about the heart and the fact that where your heart goes, you go. Hates the fact that we're exposing the mind, the affections, and the will. Hates the fact that the flesh itself and the sinful way is being exposed. Hates the fact we're talking about new hearts and new spirits. Hates the fact we're talking about as your heart gets healthy, you start shining bright for Jesus Christ. But the Lord loves it, and the Spirit of God within it loves it too, that we gotta fight. We gotta fight then for a pure heart. You got to guard your heart and keep your heart. So I want to share this with you as we end this message for me. What does guarding or keeping my heart in my life mean to me right now? I want to share with you what the things I'm thinking through as we begin this series. What does it mean for my mind? Right now, as I look at my mind and it's part of my healthy heart, I now, right now, have a new heightened expectation and anticipation and need for the Word of God in my life. I'm not approaching God's word as a check mark. Who cares about the check mark? What does that do? Nothing. I'm approaching God's word to saying, I need my mind to be renewed by this truth, because as my mind is, my thoughts will be, often my feelings are associated with that, then my will's affected as well. The mind starts everything it seems down this path. Therefore, I need the truth of God to infiltrate my mind, to lead me, because I want to have a healthy heart. On the same level, I'm saying, what are the lies? What are the messages that I'm receiving on a daily basis that might be taking me away from a healthy heart? Who are the people that I associate with? Who are the friends that I'm listening to? What is the media that I'm exposing myself to? The internet, magazines, books, TV shows. What are the things that I'm watching? Am I being tricked into believing the systems of the world by allowing my mind to be pulled? Remember, your mind's going in one way or the other, either good or bad. And I'm thinking right now in a new way, what are the systems of thought that I am embracing? What are my beliefs and how is it causing me to think? Because I'm trying to guard my heart and keep my mind so that my heart may be healthy. That's how I'm thinking right now according to my mind. Just starting down this path in this way. How am I thinking? How am I doing with my affections? Well, here are the thoughts I have. I'm asking questions like this. What do I really love in my life? What do you really love, Robbie? What are the things that fire you up the most? What are the things that really get you? What am I really after? Because that'll tell me where my heart's at, if I'm strong or not. I'm starting to watch very carefully. How do I spend my time as it relates to my longings? How do I think and use and spend the money that's been entrusted to me in my life? Because so often where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm thinking through that again. What are the great passions of my life? Because that will reveal where my heart is at. Does the world have more of my affections than Christ? A lot of us would say, no, Jesus, he's number one. But then you watch you get the video out and you play the tape of your life and it tells a whole different story. See, you need to be honest with yourself and before God knows it already. And we need to say, I'm saying, where do my affections rely? And finally, I'm saying, when it comes to my will, I'm starting to really watch the decisions that I make. Are my decisions for self or are my decisions for the Lord? Are my decisions based on sin? Or are my decisions based on Christ? I'm carefully thinking through the decisions, through right decisions I need to make. And I'm telling you, you start to think about your life in this way, you get out these filters. Like it has impacted yesterday, it impacts today, impacts this last week, because you start to see things so clearly. And it's not easy, but you see your choices. You see the choice of the mind. You see the choices related to the affections and you start to see what you really long for and you start to see then the choices to choose. And that's where it gets really exciting because God gives wisdom as the biblical heart is presented in front of you and then your choice ultimately becomes healthy or unhealthy, blessing or curse, strengthened or weakened in myself. And that's what we do within this series to say, man, may this truth be full of strong, healthy, spiritual hearts fired up for Jesus Christ. And with this, the last verse in this song we're going to respond to, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The hymn writer here who wrote this, I love it so much, his honesty. Listen to what he says. My hope is that when we sing songs right now pertaining to the heart throughout this series, whenever you see the word heart, man, it'll just stand out to you. You will apply it and you'll be changed by it. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Like, let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Bind my wandering. See, I love he admits, as so few seem to do, that his heart wanders. He says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave. What an amazing statement. Prone to leave the God I love. Then he says this though. See, in his weakness, he says, my sinful flesh tries to take me away, to leave the God I love. Many of us should relate to that. He says, but here's my heart, Lord. Like every strong man or woman of God ever, here's my heart, Lord. Change my heart, God. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Incline my heart to you, oh God. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart. Strengthen it, mold it, shape it, make it healthy for you that I may live a blessed life for Jesus Christ.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard in Oakville, Ontario. Our postal code is L6L6X9. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.